We're electronically savvy. Not quite in position, but that'll do. Morning, everyone. The character of God, keeping God's peace. And by the sound of it, there's that much need for God's peace. This will be a relevant message, even though I'm pinched a bit off Graham. Okay, God's peace is essential to our lives. We all know that. Thankfully, Romans 5:1 tells us that through faith in Jesus, we have peace with God. We would be if it was working.
Have you turned it on the side?
Probably not. I can't see it. That might help. Ah! I thought I was electronically savvy, but not quite. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that that peace is essential to our Christian walk and allows us relationship with God. But today, I'm hoping to look at the peace within ourselves, God's peace in our hearts. Every person's heart, every person's mind is an emotional and spiritual battlefield. Life trauma can easily set in if we allow it. It can be from our own experiences or from just seeing the grief of others on the news. Prime example, the video coverage of the war in Gaza is horrifying to say the least. And even just the daily news reports that highlight the New South Wales road toll lately. And all this injury, damage and loss of life must be disturbing to even the hardiest of souls. To feel on your own in all this must be quite traumatic. How do we handle all this stress on our lives? God says to turn to Him. So today's message is meant to be one of encouragement and to bring comfort. So let's just pray to start. Father, we thank You. We praise You and we thank You. We know that to glorify You, Lord, keeps us grounded. I just pray today that I would share this message, Lord, that You have given me, and that it would touch people's hearts where it should. And Lord, I pray that I would deliver it properly, Lord, unlike last time. Thank You. Amen. Okay. That's me as a little tacker. Okay, shock of red hair, big freckles, a squint, sticky outer ears, gappy teeth. How's that for starting life's race at the back of the pack? Unlike other people who may have had freckles, they're absolutely beautiful. I was kind of cute though, it grows on you. From there, I can't say I grew and progressed well in the peace department. As a teenager, I struggled with an undiagnosed inferiority complex. Well, I diagnosed it. Short man syndrome and anger management issues. My surname should have been changed to Battlefield instead of Streetfield. As all of us go through the troubles, trials and tribulations of life, there's always the temptation to think that God has forgotten us. But I read the other day, good things happen as we put our trust in God. We're filled with joy, peace and hope. It is difficult, if not impossible, to feel distressed, frustrated, sorrowful and unhappy when our hearts are as they should be, full of faith and belief. So peace is specified as a gift from Jesus to His disciples, and that is us. John 14:26-27. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. I do not give as to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So if we don't have peace, if we don't have peace about something, then are we walking in the peace we've been given? We need to hand our concerns over to God as soon as we have opportunity. Our hope in God depends on peace, peace of mind and peace within the body of Christ. Colossians 3:15. It's the right scripture, just the wrong heading. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. So we're establishing that peace is vital, a fruit of the Spirit. I've noticed if somebody has found themselves or their neighbour in a difficult situation and they ask for prayer, one of the first requests to God from the prayer is for peace to descend on the situation, cover all those involved. It's more than just an option. It's essential for people to be able to cope. Hopefully Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So why is it then that we ourselves can be slow to seek God's peace when we feel stressed? We're always requesting his peace for others. To have his peace requires that we trust in God. A tried and true faith has been tested, found solid, knows that God is always in control. We look not at the overwhelming problems, but instead look to God. To stay at peace during mayhem and turmoil doesn't mean we're unmoved by the situation and concerned only with ourselves, but instead acknowledging in our hearts that God is in every event taking place and we're right to trust him through it. So Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. God will keep us in this perfect peace, but if we panic, if we lose our peace, and we find ourselves acting in a worldly manner and only considering the problems, possible outcomes in our own strength, things we are powerless to control. Our goal is to stay connected to God, trusting him. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that we disregard the situation or the gravity of it, and that we... I'm not saying that we disregard the situation that we or others face and just continue skipping along merrily on our way. We will feel the grief, the sorrow, the loss or pain, but not the fear and not the pressure. But instead, deep-seated peace. And I'm suggesting here an unnatural, unexpected peace from the Holy Spirit within. A fruit of the Spirit allowing us to trust God through any ordeal with childlike confidence and possibly at the time without even understanding why we are not as anxious as others. So I thought today we'd have a look at somebody whose testimony in the Old Testament, example of faith in Joseph. So Joseph had faith in God, just like us. God was with him and he prospered. We read in Genesis 37 that he was loved by his father Jacob more than all his other brothers. He would have been at peace in those days, methinks. Now let's consider how his situation changed. Unexpectedly, he was sold by his brothers to passing slave traders, basically kidnapped and taken to Egypt, possibly in shackles, dragged along behind the caravans, or locked in a cramped cage with many other prisoners. Had God deserted him? Did his peace persist and travel with him? I know it was a different age, but how would we have coped? Trevor, what would you have happened to your peace in that place? Yes. But on arrival in Egypt, he was then sold to Potiphar, a Pharaoh official, the captain of the guard. Joseph was no doubt treated to much better conditions there, with upmarket accommodation, food and conditions. God allowed Joseph to prosper. He was soon running all of Potiphar's household. Ah, feeling of peace returned, eh, Bill? But unfortunately, not for long. Potiphar's wife made many advances to the handsome Joseph and was continually rejected. Finally, in frustration, she accused him of attempted naughty bits, which sees Potiphar burn with anger and Joseph thrown in prison. So what an elusive thing this peace appears to be for Joseph. How would we feel? He's completely separated from his loving father and extended family, and now to be falsely accused of attempted rape and thrown into prison. Can there still be peace? Graham? Yes, possibly, because with God's favour upon Joseph, he is soon running the prison. Psalm 5:12. Surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favour as with a shield. God's favour is definitely upon Joseph. It's just a thought here, but if Joseph had not acted righteously toward God and his master Potiphar, and he had plunged into sin with Potiphar's wife, the prison experience he had may have been completely different. But 2 years of prison life later, and Joseph, by trusting God to interpret Pharaoh's visions, became a free man and finds himself put in charge of running all of Egypt, second only in authority to Pharaoh himself. And after some time, he's then reconciled to his family, who joins him in Egypt. He is fully restored with his past life behind him. So I'd hazard a guess to say that now he's definitely at peace. Any of these situations that Joseph faced would have rattled even the hardiest of Christian types. But God never left him or forsook him, instead blessing him far more than Joseph would have ever imagined. From a secure position of hindsight, we can easily see that Joseph should have remained at peace the entire journey he was on. But it's obvious that would I have, or would you have? Times will come when the trials, troubles and tribulations of life for us can cause our faith and trust in God's promises to waver somewhat. Even though in times past we may have had a great breakthrough in faith and we're feeling strong, but my personal experience is that God tests us in this, to remind us of our own frailties and weaknesses so as to rely on him completely. By holding on to the Holy Spirit, we can, like Joseph, be strong, taking peace to heart, waiting for the Lord in complete trust and unshakable faith. And I reckon that's exactly what Joseph did. Psalm 27:13-14. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart and wait for the Lord. So let's have a look at peace as spiritual first aid. So back when I was a paid employee of the fire brigade, one of the interesting facts of the job description was that when everyone else was running away, we had to run in. So sometimes jobs can get a bit stressful. Wild bushfires, storm damage, landslides at Threadbow, quadruple fatalities, structure fires, multiple vehicle collisions with people trapped. These were some that came to mind, and I've been to them all, but fortunately not all at once, Bill. Some people wonder how we could experience all these critical incidents over the years and not be affected. But you'll be pleased to hear I'm a bit weird, but okay.
Just a bit.
A long conversation with me will show just how weird. Anyway, the brigade uses SISM, and I mentioned in the past, but I thought a reminder might be timely. SISM stands for Critical Incident Stress Management. It's used across the world in emergency services and defence to help prevent post-traumatic stress disorder. The idea is to stop people from mentally burning out from traumatic incidents. Basically, the process is to get people to talk about and share together what they experienced, not to bottle it up. Quietly dwell on it until symptoms of anxiety turn into stress disorder and they cannot function normally. Talking it out was like mental first aid. It worked well as a release of anxiety. But God had perfected this process centuries earlier, but strangely enough, no one seemed to notice. God is our release as we present to him through prayer and petition with thanksgiving all our requests and anxieties. Even though not everyone's confronted with trauma at work, although Peter might bring you some, don't feel you're immune. It's hard not to take on board the weight of circumstances or the burdens of others, so hand them to God. Caring for family, friends and neighbours with so many varied problems, sickness, pain, poverty, hatred, abuse. Then there's violence, war, terrorism, climate change can all unconsciously add to your load of agitation. So it's like putting bricks in a wheelbarrow. Each critical incident can be likened to a brick that we place in our spiritual wheelbarrows until finally we find the wheelbarrow is too full of bricks and too heavy to push. We're overloaded and can't continue. But instead, let's hand our bricks to God and keep our wheelbarrows full of fruit, not bricks, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Spiritual fruit remains light, easy to manoeuvre, I hear. So remember that. Joyful people have a wheelbarrow full of fruit. And keep your wheelbarrow tyre pumped up by reading Psalms and Proverbs. Corinthians 1, 3 to 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our wheelbarrows. Sorry. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So seek God. Seek his comfort through all circumstances. And having received God's peace, it will enable you to comfort others who may be experiencing something similar to what you've just endured. Way back when I was a bit older than that photo, when I was a confused teenager, I used alcohol to fill the void where God should have been. I was conditioned by life to think the worst, to be pessimistic from that young age. It seemed better to expect the worst and hopefully be surprised by something good. But most times that good was spoiled and disappointment took hold. So I learnt not to be too eager to be happy. But that's been changed by the abundant life that I live in God through faith and the loving sacrifice of his Son. Now I expect the best. God gives the best. So why can't I live joyfully? Because that's what God expects me to do. Psalm 5:11. There's a one missing. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them that those who love your name may rejoice in you. So if circumstances are bringing you down and taking their toll, before you stress out, think of Joseph and the situations he endured while behind the scenes God was hard at work. Well, think of this little fella. The trouble and strife he experienced before God turned everything around. God is good. And remember to fill your wheelbarrow with the delicate fruit of the Spirit, not the heavy bricks of anxiety and fear that the world produces. Amen to that. Better get that picture off there. Ooh, it's too soon. I'll get out of that one. Communion. If everyone's happy, we move into communion. So if you come out and grab some emblems. Specify which fruit, Bill. Pray over it first. Are we good? Okay, I said we'd go way back, so let's go back to the beginning just quickly. Adam was created in God's image, but turned from relying spiritually on God to self. He had help in making his life-changing decision but to reject God's instructions, but still, the outcome was to choose self. All descended from Adam and all who have descended from Adam in the same spiritual condition and are living life by human effort alone. They're certainly not functioning as designed, as clearly seen by all the chaos. Jesus then came in Adam's physical image, but filled with the Holy Spirit, in full connection with God. As the last Adam, he came to do God's will, God's way, to live a life of sacrifice to bring all who have faith in him back into connection with God. To attempt to do things in our own strength is Adam's way. To do things in God's strength is Jesus' way. We are similar to the disciples who walked with Jesus. They heard his words and watched things unfold, but did not clearly understand the quickly approaching climax as Jesus headed to the cross. The pain of suffering and confusion the disciples felt when Jesus was murdered on the cross would have been overwhelming for them, as any peace they had was gone. But that pain, that fear, that excruciating hurt was far outweighed by the absolute elation and excitement of soon realising Jesus had risen from the dead. Fear was replaced by peace. God was doing more than they had ever imagined or could understand. Jesus' life, death and resurrection became the cornerstone of history. Thank you, Derek. Everything changed at that point in time. The world's healing process began. And it's the same for us as individuals. When we accept Christ into our lives and begin to seek God, everything changes. The healing process has begun. We are partaking by faith in the symbols of the body and the blood of Christ, which reconnects us spiritually to the Father by the Holy Spirit deposits in our hearts. This should fill us with peace while waiting for God's plan of glory to unfold. And Psalm 73, 23, 26 says, "Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So let's partake together. The body and blood of Jesus, our ultimate sacrifice, our salvation, our peace, and our joy.